Praise the Lord. Message 129. The title of the message, Put God First, Part 4. We'll continue to tackle in this message how to put God first in regard to our salvation that we had received by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for our sin. Let's open our Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 to verse 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Lord, anoint my lips and put verses and statement to encourage your people, to help them to be discerning, to know your ways and to apply the message as way of life and teaching to each and everyone who listen, to raise up more workers, to raise up more people to put you first and make their priorities right and make their way of thinking and planning and deciding and taking action in the right way, that honoring you and glorifying your name. Lord, let the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished, and the desire of your heart and the fruit that you want to see, that you want to harvest in the life of us, in the life of your servant, in the life of your church, in the life of your people, shall be accomplished in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We know that we are saved by grace. We cannot add anything to the work of God for our salvation. It is by grace we are saved through faith, not by work, so that no one can boast. We can add nothing to Christ's work on the cross. And here, from this passage, we understand that God had took us when we were dead in our sin and our transgressions. We used to live in sin, and God call us from darkness into the light. In verse 2, he says, in which you were used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That which we were before. So what God expects from us today? God expects from us obedient. We receive the gift of God, the salvation by grace through faith. The faith that the Lord put in our heart is the faith that bring obedience into our lives. The power of darkness now and the spirit of the darkness that is at work in the disobedient shall have no way in our life. So when there is disobedient, that's where the devil is working, and that should not be in our life. We who are called and we who are respond to God and we receive salvation, put God first in your life. Remember that you are saved by grace through faith, the faith that God had called you to obey Him. Be very careful, work out your salvation. If you continue live in disobedient, there is no more sacrifice left for your sin. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul say, through him and for his name's sake, we receive the grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that come from faith. So salvation by grace through faith, and Paul say that we call the Gentile to the obedience that come from faith. So here, after we receive the grace, there is no way for disobedient or live in sin. If you continue to live in sin, you are losing your salvation. The offer of salvation is there, but you receive it if you continue to abide with God's word and live in obedience, because salvation by grace through faith that call you to continue to obey God. In Romans chapter 16, the link between faith and obedience is there, so that the salvation will continue flow in the life of the people of God. Book of Romans chapter 16 and verse 25 and verse 26, Paul say, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey Him. So here, the belief is linked with obedience. So there is no way that you say that I am saved, but you live in disobedient. If you live in disobedient, then your salvation is in danger. Not that the salvation of God is not there, is there, but you are losing it because you choose to disobey God and move away from God. Some people, they say, once you are saved, you are saved. That is not correct. And we will read in the scriptures that salvation can be lose if people decide to live in disobedience after they come to know Christ. In verse 3, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, all of us who live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following his desires and thoughts. Speaking here that before we are saved, we were living like the Gentile, in disobedience. How? By gratifying the craving of our sinful nature. So when there is a believer who is gratifying his sinful nature, that incompatible with his salvation. Gratifying the desire of the sinful nature and following his desires and thoughts. The desire and the thought of the believer should be clean, should be not of the world, should not be of the flesh, should not be allowing way for devil to continue. You may fall into sin or be tempted, but to live in constant sinning and you say that you are saved, that the scripture does not support that. You are saved by grace through faith, the faith that lead you to live in obedience, not in disobedience to God. You know, when you say in verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. When God called us, when God saved us, he took us high up to higher level, that our heart and our mind are set on things above, not on earthly things, not on the sinful things. So here, the way you think, the way you plan, the way you decide is completely different from your old life. Put God first in your life so that your salvation will be active and will be valid. What the Lord had done on the cross for your sin will be accomplished in salvation in your life as you believe and continue to obey. We will read about the Holy Spirit that we receive when we are saved. When we receive Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The seal of the Holy Spirit is God ownership. Is a sign of God's ownership. It means that God had on us. So we need to show that we belong to Christ. We should show that we are servant of God, not the servant of the evil one. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, and you also were included in Christ when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Once you are saved, you are marked by the seal of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit, the seed, is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption, until Christ will come. Then our salvation is sure. Until he come, until that moment that we are redeemed, that moment that we are transformed to a glorified body, then salvation is sure. Before that, we have to work out our salvation with a trembling and fear. Don't take the Lord for granted. Say, oh, I am sealed with the Holy Spirit, I am saved. and you start to live in sin. No, your salvation is not sure unless you repent and come back fully to God. In the book of Galatians, in the book of 2 Corinthians, book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 1 verse 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So here, the seal of ownership, when we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, it means that Christ got on us. So that, it means that we cannot do our own. We cannot do what we like and we wish, but we need to do what God wants us to do. And we know that the Holy Spirit, as we are sealed with the Holy Spirit will start to live inside us. So we need to be careful how to live our life. God is with us. We should not take him for granted. We should not abuse the grace of God. That's where the need for to put God first, because it is so dangerous if you live in disobedience and take God for granted. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, he say, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If you live in sin, do wrong things, the Holy Spirit will be grieved, will be sad. In the book of James speak that the Holy Spirit will be envious when you are worldly. Some believers, they live in worldliness, they live in a friendship with the world. They don't know that they are becoming enemy of God. They don't know that they are losing their salvation. You see here, James chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So here, when we are saved, and when we go back to the worldliness, to the desires and the thought of that gratify the craving of our sinful nature, we have become enemy of God. How about the Holy Spirit that we have? Or do you think verse 5, or do you think scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envious intensely? We have the Holy Spirit when we are worldly, when we do wrong things, when we watch TV, you do sin, you speak bad, when your heart is unclean, the Holy Spirit will be envied. You will hurt, you are hurting the Holy Spirit, causing pain to the Holy Spirit. Do you think if you continue to live in this way, you are saved? As long as you are alive, there is a chance for you to repent, so that your salvation is there. But once you are dead, or once Christ come, then there's a point that you cannot, or you will not have the chance to repent. So the offer of God's salvation is there, but if you live in sin, your salvation is in peril. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, speaking about the Holy Spirit and the salvation. Is the seal of the Holy Spirit is a guarantee? Yes, it's a guarantee for us if we continue to obey. But if we live in disobedient, then God's judgment, the Holy Spirit that we have, will bring us to judgment. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 to 31, say, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. If you continue to sin intentionally, you know what is sin, you know what is wrong, and you're still doing it, then no sacrifice of sin left. Be very careful. But only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's at the time of Moses. When they reject the law of Moses, two or three testify against them, they will put them to death by stoning. How about now? Time of Christ, let us read verse 29. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Now it's more. Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctify him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. Here he insulted the Holy Spirit that he was sealed for the redemption. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. He will judge his people, those who have received Christ and they were sealed with the Holy Spirit, but have insulted the Spirit of grace. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Here, speaking about the Holy Spirit, I speak about the believer who continue to sin. There is only judgment left for them. And who will avenge? God will revenge. It is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Hebrews chapter 12. We read more. The writer of the Hebrews, he was addressing his letter not to the non-believer, but to the believers who have received Christ. And he is bringing to them scripture from the Old Testament and how it is a dreadful thing to disobey God. You read more in Hebrews chapter 12. Warning against refusing God. Warning against refusing the law of God and living in disobedience. He says in verse 21 to verse 29, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refuse him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warned us from heaven? Oh, the Holy Spirit that live in us, that we are sealed, came from heaven. We have the word of God. You have the word of God. If God is warning you today and you are refusing to listen and turn away from him and from his command, verse 26 say, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has a promise, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is created thing, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. God wants us to be unshakable. Sin, worldliness, craving of the sinful nature is something shakable. It will be thrown into fire And that is the fate of those who receive the grace of God, who receive the salvation, but they continue in sin. Therefore, verse 28, since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, with fear and trembling. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Our God is consuming fire, not the God of the Old Testament. Same God in the New Testament is a consuming fire. Those who abuse His grace, He can deal with them. Let's read about the Holy Spirit and those who abuse the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, what the Lord may do with them. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, you know a famous story about Ananias and Sapphira. You read verse 1 word. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of a property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Ananias was a believer? Yes. He was filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. He received the salvation? Yes. When he did sin, and he lied to the Holy Spirit, and he lied to Peter and to the church, what happened to him? He fell down and died. Where he went? To heaven or to hell? To hell. No, we cannot abuse the grace of God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good work that He prepared in advance for us to do. The Lord, when He saved Ananias and Sapphira, it was a good work He prepared for them. But because of sin, they lose that salvation. They did not put God first in their life. They abused the grace of God. They took God for granted. They did their own. They followed the desire and the gratifying, the craving of their sinful nature. They follow their desires and thoughts, and they disobey God. Today's message is warning. Put God first. You may do a lot of things good, but salvation is not by work, so that no one can boast. Those people, they brought even money, but sin had disqualified them from heaven. It is not by work. God had prepared work for us to do, not our own, not our self-righteousness, not our own understanding. Some people, they say we are doing good things. They have good thoughts. They have good thoughts. They have good projects. But as long as it is not God ordained, it is not what God had planned in advance, They are still doing their own. They are in peril of losing their salvation. God is merciful. God is good. But it is so dangerous to abuse the grace of God. If you know what is wrong, you stop doing wrong and sin. Jacob was a naughty believer. First, he cheated his brother and stole from him his birthright and the inheritance. He ran away because his brother wanted to kill him. The Lord showed him mercy and revealed himself to him. He gave him his promises. He went to Laban, and there he continued to become naughty. Although God saved him from his brother, he did not heed. He fell in love with Rachel, and he wanted to do his own. God gave him Leah, but he insists to marry Rachel. He stayed 20 years and served Laban for the sake of getting Leah, for the sake of getting Rachel. When he went back, he needed to face Esau. That night he wrestled with God. That is the life of many believers. When they are in distress, in a problem, they will pray. God struck his hip, and he started to walk lame from that day, and God saved him from Esau as a brother. But did he obey God? No, he is still naughty. Instead of going to Bethel as he promised, he went to Shechem, and he fell again into another trouble. His daughter Dinah was raped, and then he was forced to go to Bethel. After that, did he behave with God? No. He loved Joseph more than other of his son. Why? Because Joseph is the son of Rachel. And what God did to him, how God disciplined him, he allowed Joseph to be taken away from him to Egypt, and Jacob lived without his son Joseph for 20 years. He was mourning for his son, till God brought him to Egypt. And the Lord was with him. Finally, Jacob accepted God's will and died in a long life and long years. God was merciful to him. Now we have two stories: the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and the story of Jacob. Sometimes God is merciful. God is graceful. God is forgiving. But sometimes God is judging at once, like in Sapphira and Ananias. The point here, you cannot dictate on God. Because you forgive Jacob, okay, you have to forgive me like that, and I won't do my own Lord. Because you have forgiven David, and because you have forgiven Abraham. That's correct. But put God first. You cannot dictate on God what he need to do. How about if God took your life in an accident and you are in sin? What you will do? Where you will find yourself? Repent. I trust God. I trust God's word. And I continue to praise the word of God. God can still save sinners and save people, even last minute of their life, on the cross. Would you see there were two thieves were hanged? One of them, as she was in pain, pierced by nails, hanged, he prayed, he repented. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Lord told him today, he'll be with me in paradise. God showed mercy last minute of his life. Grant him salvation. God may do that. But my point here, don't take God for granted. God may not give you that chance that he gave to the thief on the cross. Yes, the Bible says he does not treat us as our sin deserve. But don't abuse the grace of God. Today, if you hear his voice, repent of your sin. Do not harden your heart. Put God first, not your own life or ambition or plans or thought. The Lord had called you. So as the Holy Spirit says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, and verse 8, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. Here, our life on earth is a desert, it's a testing. Put God first. As you hear the word of God, as you hear the voice of God, God calling you to repent, you repent now. Don't test the patience and the mercies of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't insult the Holy Spirit. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Repent of your sin. Come to the Lord. Tell him, Lord, forgive me. I come before you in the name of Jesus. Don't tell God, I will try to obey. Tell him, Lord, I will obey. Sustain me, Lord. Provide for me. Protect me. And I will continue to obey you, Lord. I will do what you had prepared in advance for me to do. A life of full obedience. Oh, God. Lord, I pray that those who respond to you, Lord, grant them salvation. Protect them, provide for them, sustain them, so they will continue to obey you and honor your name and glorify you in their life. Lord, I pray that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in the life of your church and your people, that many, they will put you first, oh God, and honor you and start to serve you and start to serve the purpose of saving them, the purpose that you want them to achieve for you in this life, in the life of the people around them, in the life of the generation that they live with. Oh God, bless us, enlarge our territory, let your hands be with us, and keep us from harm so that you will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Christ's name. Amen and amen.